If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, and this is a good crowd here for the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I trust if I don't get a chance to see you before you experience Thanksgiving, I trust you'll have a blessed day on Thanksgiving Day, and I offer to you a Thanksgiving message here this morning. If you'd please stand, John chapter 6, we want to begin with verse number 10, and the Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse number 10, and Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." This morning I want to preach to you a message entitled, "Thankful for Thanksgiving Leftovers." Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd help as we even contemplate here the importance of what you have given us, more than what we need, more than what we can handle. Lord, you have given to each and every one of us this morning leftovers. And Lord, may we even truly become thankful for the leftovers today. We pray your blessing upon this message. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I came across this cute little Thanksgiving tale that begins by saying, at the Thanksgiving main meal, Junior gorged himself on all of his favorite dishes. There was the green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, macaroni and cheese, turkey and dressing with gravy, cranberry sauce, homemade biscuits, followed by pumpkin pie, pecan pie, cherry pie, and of course, vanilla ice cream. 5 hours later, the family gathered to eat again, and the table was laden with leftovers. Junior wasn't the least bit hungry. He was still full from that unbelievable lunch, but these were all of his favorites, and he wanted to eat something. So since he was now asked to say grace, to pray the prayer of thanks before they ate again, Junior bowed his head, he sighed, and uttered this simple and sincere prayer, "Lord, stretch me." Now, I don't know about you, but I love Thanksgiving. And I love so many things about it. I love the family gathering. I love the memories. I love the football. But we all love the food. And speaking about the food, I tell you what, you know, we have leftovers. And I'm sure even some of you here this morning, you probably, if we were to go and visit your home in your refrigerator, there would probably be the remnants of meals that you had left over from this last week. But there is something special about the Thanksgiving leftovers. That there's something, they are absolutely the best. And I've seen, by the way, different shows on TV that tell you what you can do, and I'm sure there'll be specials on how you can make a pot pie, or maybe a casserole, or maybe a soup, a salad. Something special with the leftovers, they're all good. But I'll tell you, for me, it's as simple as this. You just give me a fork and a plate and a microwave and I'm good to go. I love the leftovers. Now, I thought about this morning focusing on the leftovers. And in our text this morning, we began with verse number 12. Because verse number 12 says, when they were filled. Now, can I just simply stop and just praise the Lord for a second? Because when it says there they were filled, this of course is with Jesus. Do you know one of the things that is true about Christ is nobody ever went away from Christ empty? Every time, in every place, in every situation, whenever Jesus was involved, they were filled. Now, by the way, you can't say that for the world. And you can't say that for the devil. The devil always leaves you hungry. The devil always leaves you wanting. I think that is well illustrated, for instance, in the story of the prodigal son, as we call it. In the story of the prodigal son, the son that took from the father his inheritance, and the Bible says he left and went away into a far country and he wasted his substance. The Bible then says, after he had spent all, that he began to be in want. And he began to think about, you know, back home with my father, everybody's full. Everybody's, even the servants, they have more than they need. And he said, I'll just go back home. And you know that that son got right with his father and went back home, said, I have sinned. And they had a feast and he was filled once again. Every time Jesus is ever involved, there's fulfillment, there's fulfillment. There is the filling. Notice it says, when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be left over. Now they are full, but they are more than full. There are leftovers. They have had more than enough. I'm sure that you have recognized this text that is from the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And if I can just offer a couple of background points to kind of set the stage, there are a couple of things that you ought to know about that kind of are important to the story. First of all, I want you to notice that Jesus himself is hurting. Contextually, we know that this comes on the heels of the beheading of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, his second cousin. Now, this was the one who had literally foretold that the Messiah was coming. Now John has had his head chopped off. Not only is Jesus crushed by that and he's hurting, he's bereaved, but in addition, not only the heavy heart, but Jesus himself is weary and tired. That this story takes place during a busy time. Jesus has been involved in the ministry. In fact, Matthew's gospel gives this account when it says that Jesus went forth, Matthew 14:14, and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick, and it was evening. In other words, it's been a busy day. You ever had a super busy day when you were just simply ready to drop into bed, and just simply go and rest a little bit? Now Jesus has been weary. He has been healing. He has been teaching. He's been ministering. And now one of the things we find that's so important is this story of the feeding of the 5,000 shows us how sacrificial Christ was. You see, his needs were put on hold. The needs of the people. He had compassion on them. He loved them. He cared about them. And hence now we find that Jesus brings up their need of food. And in verse number 5, the Bible says that he asked one of the disciples, Philip being the one, he says, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip immediately, you know, Philip is this practical guy. And I can just imagine, by the way, among the disciples, you know, when you are, you know, somebody that is, you know, full of faith and, you know, just simply realizing here the greatness of what God can do, that there's nothing that will kind of rain on that kind of a parade than a realist. And somebody who just simply says, you know, and this man Philip, that's exactly what he does when he says, well, listen, I've kind of calculated it out, and 200 penny worth of bread would not even be enough. Now, I have to, by the way, give it to Philip. I have to give him credit. At least he, by the way, came up with a number. He had calculated. Now, the Bible points out that Jesus was not offering this for an open-ended question, but Jesus had a purpose all along. Verse number 6 says, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, that answer by Philip actually set the stage for this being miraculous. This actually prepared the way for a great act on the part of Christ. And as Philip said, you know, I don't think we can afford it. I don't think 200 penny worth. We don't even have that in the coffers. But even if we did, that wouldn't even be enough to just give everybody a bite to eat. And Jesus took the bread. He took the fish from the little lad, if you know the story. And the Bible says he took and he multiplied. And he gave to the disciples, and they distributed among the people. Now, you might ask yourself, why was there this miracle? Why was there all of this stuff? Why this bread and the feeding of the 5,000, why? And we don't know all of the answers. I can tell you this. The point I want to make here this morning is that they had more than enough. They were full, and then there were leftovers. They had everything they needed. And by the way, that's the way it is with God. That's the way it is with Christ. In fact, I love the way that Paul phrases it in Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I think about the words of Christ himself, where Jesus revealed that he was not just simply come to bring life, to give life, but he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, just three simple truths this morning from this story. First of all, I want to point out that there were leftovers. You know, the fact that there were leftovers, I think about, again, this would have been remarkable if, you know, the people would have at least had a little carryover snack, sort of like, you know, the snacks they give you on the plane on those short routes. You know, some pretzels and some peanuts, that might suffice for a little while. But that's not what happened here. The Bible says that they were filled and they gathered up the leftovers. Notice, secondly, that Jesus had them gather leftovers. In other words, those leftovers were important. In verse number 12, gather up the fragments that remain. I want you to notice, third, that Jesus had them gather all of the leftovers. In verse number 12, it ends by saying that nothing be lost. Now you say, preacher, why are you pointing this out here this morning? Because I dare say that every single one of us, we have leftovers. I dare say, and I'm not just talking about your refrigerator, but every single one of us, we have been blessed, and then we have more than that. We have more than just simply what meets our needs. We have more. We have an overflow. For instance, have you ever noticed the change in your pocket? That's leftover. That tells us that you evidently didn't need it the last time that you were checking out in some place where you needed to provide money. Have you noticed the material stuff that you have in your home? You know, I've mentioned this time or two since Valerie and I and her mom, since we moved into the home here a little over a year ago now, and we reflected even before we were moving then, and I reflect a year later, we still have too much stuff. You know, as we went through boxes before we moved, and I've been, you know, saying we're going to begin around here now to a second time where we're going to have to go through then things we haven't touched, things we haven't used, things that are surplus. I'm telling you that every one of us, we've got more than enough. Have you gone into your closets and noticed all the clothes that you have? Have you noticed all of the pairs of shoes? Have you noticed the multiplied pairs of socks? Have you noticed the number of pens and pencils lying around? I hope my wife won't get upset at this, but several weeks ago we were chuckling when Valerie was cleaning out her purse. And as she was cleaning, and by the way, there is something just is like deep about a woman's purse. And she was just cleaning out her purse, and she was doing it in front of me, and she was pulling out not one, not two, but what did we come up with? 17 pens? 17 pens in the pastor's wife's purse, not to mention whatever else she must have been keeping in there. 17. Now, I'm simply saying that's leftover, isn't it? Have you noticed the space that you were able to live in? Have you noticed, how many of you, by the way, have spare bedrooms? Raise your hand. That's leftover. That's extra. That's more than you need. You know, by the way, I thought about that when I heard my dear father in the back years ago tell the story about when he was growing up. There was a time when he had his bedroom, the porch of their house. And he was talking about, and this is in Colorado. You know, it does get cold in Colorado. And my dear father, as he's growing up, for a while, he was thankful he had the porch. He was thankful that he could stay there. He was thankful for that. And I would tell you that having been to many places, especially in third world countries, and if we can see some pictures now, I've seen families that have existed in makeshift homes made of just simply corrugated steel that is a lean-to. By the way, this particular picture here, Pastor Nye is going to be taking a trip to this particular neighborhood outside of Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and in many cases in the world, this happens to be the place where people live in one-room homes, on the floor, without a bed like you have, without a pillow like you have, and yet they live in these places. They have to cook outside. They don't have running water. In many places in the world, they've got so little compared to what you have. If we can see the next picture, I remember visiting on one of the mission trips. This particular trip was a trip that my son and I went to the country of Honduras. And there we happened to meet a preacher. Now, by the way, Brother Jimmy Lee loves this particular picture. Brother Jimmy Lee loves this man, has supported him many, many times over. That this man here is what he calls the preacher on the hill. But I wanted you to see this particular picture here because behind this dear man and his wife, and this is, by the way, one of the national pastors for Final Frontiers. This is one of the preachers supported. This is their home behind them. I don't know if you can make out, by the way, that door, that's just simply a sheet. And if you're to go inside, it's one room. And by the way, the bathroom, oh, that's outside. That they don't have running water in there. They don't have a whole lot. It's basically just one room and a sheet that will separate their bedroom, basically. Then the rest of it's a living room. It's very modest. It's a dirt floor. But I'll tell you what, I have not met a more happy couple than this couple serving the Lord. If we can have the next picture, by the way, this is what Jimmy Lee loved. This was the site where this dear man was preparing. And by the way, he has started multiple churches. This was one of the previous places, but he literally carved this place out and he built a church on the side of a mountain. Now, by the way, you just stop and think about it. You can see pictured there. You can see some people, including Brother John Nelms and this man. But if you can just imagine that and just think about now, the 20 acres that First Baptist Church resides on. That's just simply a small place on the side of a hill. That was just simply a place that he would set up then chairs, and maybe even not chairs, but people would come from the village there in the mountain. That's all they had. I'm simply saying, have you stopped to thank God for the abundance that you have? We are so blessed. Now, I'm not preaching this morning to put a guilt trip on you, but you know the average American, it is said, wastes 1 pound of food a day. There's 1 pound of food a day that the average American discards, 1 pound of food, 1 pound that maybe the rest of the world would love to have a little portion of. I'm simply saying we have been so blessed. Think about the average person in here, how many trips you have taken, whether it be by plane, by train, by ship, how many times you've had opportunities for schooling, the friends you've had and been privileged to have, the conveniences that you are able to enjoy. Think about the health. Think about in the day and age in which we live, some of you have experienced the blessings of the technology of today and the surgeries and the surgeons and the knowledge and the cameras and all of the medicines and all of the things. Have you stopped to thank God for the blessings? Have you stopped to thank Him for things that you've been able to see? Things that you've been able to hear, taste, to feel, to experience? Have you stopped to thank God for the blessings of your family, your spouse? And think about, for instance, all of the years you husbands and wives have been married. And think about the children that you have been blessed with. And think about the job that you maybe currently are employed with. Think about the freedom you have. Aren't you glad we've been blessed to live in the United States of America? I think about the ability to travel on roads without potholes. You know, one of the things, again, I say this, I've got two mission trips this next year, but every time I travel on a mission trip, I go home and I'm thankful for the roads. I go, for instance, to Nigeria. Brother Yinka Fasenrel, traveling with Brother Yinka, I learned a little bit here to stretch my faith a little bit by traveling with Brother Yinka, whether it's the roads and the constant potholes. You know, rarely did I ever have a road that didn't have a big old hole in it somewhere. And Brother Yinka, driving with him, is basically like, a video game where you're trying to avoid something. He's driving all over the place. Have you stopped to thank God for running water and indoor plumbing and computers and cell phones and a television and the internet? Have you stopped to thank God for stores that actually have things to buy to purchase in them? You know, as we get ready here this week, and some, are just simply, it's a natural thing. You're going to have Thanksgiving, then you're going to have Black Friday, and you're going to have Cyber Monday and all of the days of shopping and, the number of days before, you're going to have all of these presents under the tree. Have you stopped to thank God that you even have that opportunity? Are you thankful for hot water? Try taking a shower or bathing without it. I've been in places, by the way, like that, where all you could do was just simply have a little sponge bath, a little bucket of water that you could maybe clean yourself off with. Again, I think about those who are sick and those who are maybe going through some health struggles. But have you ever been thankful for doctors and hospitals and for clean hospitals, by the way? Many parts of the world don't have that. Are you thankful this morning for a church building? You know, it may not be everything we want, but it's a place. And by the way, I want to just remind and thank God here this morning. Glory to God, we are debt-free. We don't owe on this building. We don't owe on this property. Thank God for that. Thank God for the faithfulness of God's people before us. And thank God for provision. Have you forgotten to thank God for buses? Buses that run, have you stopped to thank God for staff? And you say, well, Pastor Clear, they aren't perfect. And by the way, I will admit that we are not perfect, beginning with the pastor. But listen, I want to tell you this morning that we have been blessed. We have been blessed. We have been blessed with our staff. We have been blessed. We have been blessed with what we have here. You know, everywhere that I look, what I see is a lot of leftovers. You know, we sometimes take it for granted. Hearing accompany us, playing the piano, playing the organ. Do you realize, I can tell you, churches all over America don't even have anybody to play. They don't have anybody that can sing a special. They don't have, and yet we have so much. You know, it's sort of like us as we prepare even for a meal this week, a meal that we have been looking forward to the entire year until this day, Thanksgiving Day, and we're going to enjoy the turkey, and we're going to enjoy the stuffing, and the cranberry sauce, and the pies, and all of that that goes in. But folks, I guarantee you we're going to then be done, and everybody's going to say, like little Johnny, little Junior, we're going to say, I'm full, just stretch me, Lord. We're going to have to our heart's content, and then there's going to be more. And you and I, we have been blessed with leftovers. Now just stop and think about it. Part of Thanksgiving is noticing leftovers. Part of Thanksgiving is, and by the way, this ought not to be just simply relegated here to the final Thursday here in our month. It shouldn't just simply be that at the end of November that we have this one day and all of a sudden we have one day to be thankful. But why not remember and recognize every single day when God has given you extra? God has given you more than you deserve. And God has given me more than I deserve, and His grace and His mercy, you know, as the songwriter said, His love is without measure. That we have Thanksgiving leftovers. I want to close with a poem that I think says it well. A poem that's written by a man by the name of John Paul Moore. And you might have heard this poem, but it's entitled Drinking from the Saucer. He says, I've never made a fortune, and I'll never make one now. But it really doesn't matter, because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along my journey, I'm reaping better than I've sowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough. but with kin and friends to love me, I think I'm rich enough. I thank God for the blessings that His mercy has bestowed. I'm drinking from the saucer, because my cup has overflowed. He gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough. I'll not ask for other blessings, for I'm already blessed enough. May we never be too busy to help bear another's load. Then we'll all be drinking from the saucer when our cup has overflowed. This morning, you and I are drinking from a cup that's overflowed. And it's those overflowed blessings that we sometimes ignore. You know, when we even offer and sing the song, "Count Your Many Blessings," those blessings are leftovers. Again, the story of Jesus is a time that Jesus gathered the multitude. And yes, there was the feeding of the 5,000, but an interesting and important part of the story is when they got all done and they were all full, Jesus said, "Now, let's not lose it. Let's gather up all the fragments. Let's gather every bit. And 12 baskets were still full. 12 baskets when they had just simply started with 5 loaves. And now all of a sudden, here's the multitude saying, "I had enough and I don't think I can eat anymore." They were more than full. You and I have been blessed this morning. Would you thank God for the leftovers? Would you thank God for what He's done more than enough? Father, I pray that You would even use this message as, Lord, this has been a convicting message even to my heart. As Lord, I think so many times we just simply gloss over the many benefits, the abundance, the leftovers, the extra. And yet, Lord, when we stop and think about it, there's nobody here that can say we have not been blessed. And we have not been blessed with more than we deserve, more than we need. Every one of us, we have stuff and we have extra, and we've been blessed even with the many friendships and even the church. And Lord, I know many times we can start looking and we can start even rationalizing of things we don't have, but why not this morning count what we do have? And just like our refrigerators will be filled, probably even to the point where we don't even have room enough to receive in the refrigerator the Thanksgiving dinner leftovers. Our lives are just like that. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for not counting our blessings and not even realizing here in this moment that we have been blessed beyond measure. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Christians are praying. How about you this morning? Would you just simply humbly this morning join the preacher and say, "You know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the leftovers." And maybe this Thursday, maybe you and I, when it comes time for that second big meal, we can maybe stop and give thanks, because the fact that we have a leftover meal means we had more than what we needed. We were blessed. We were blessed. I trust this morning God would speak to your heart and mind. May we be thankful for our Thanksgiving leftovers. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out.